Back in our study here on the biblical lady God wants, amen. The biblical lady God wants. You say, man, are you ever going to be done with that? I don't know. It's the third lesson, third message on it, but it's very important, amen, that we understand what God wants. So this is actually part two of the biblical wife. So we had in the first week, we just looked at a lady in general, what God expects from a lady. And then secondly, last week we looked at a biblical wife in submission. And then now we're going to look at the biblical wife part two, and we're going to take a lot of the excerpts from Proverbs 31. You've all heard of a Proverbs 31 woman, maybe many of you have in the past, and this will explain some things to you, and tonight will hopefully help you to understand what God expects. It's interesting, I had a long talk, actually a Facebook chat with some people this week about the biblical lady, and I said this emphatically, that I do not believe that a woman should be president of the United States. And that brought a lot of conversation on it. The reason I said that is I listed a whole bunch of scriptures, and I really explained it very thoroughly, and not that a woman should be forbidden from running. I didn't say that. I said a biblical lady, I believe biblically a lady should not be the president of the United States. Listed the meek and quiet spirit, listed the modesty verses, all the verses that pertain to a lady, and how a lady is not to be bold like that, not to be brassy like that, not to be an authority like that, an authority figure like that. Explain that very thoroughly. Now, you're allowed to disagree with me if you'd like to, amen, and that's fine, you can, but make sure you use scripture and not anything modern. Now, what people will do is they'll pull out Deborah out of the Old Testament. What about Deborah? What about her? First of all, this is the New Testament age that we live in. Second of all, that was a theocracy. Israel was a theocracy ran by God. And America is not a theocracy. You've heard people say America is a Christian nation. That's not true. America is not a Christian nation. One, he needs only to walk around and see that most people are not Christian in America to realize that America is not a Christian nation. Have there been Christian nations before? There's been attempts at Christian nations. Calvin was one of them, but he said the best way to fix Baptists is to take the sword to them. That was Calvin. Luther said the same thing, that they may take the sword and hunt them down. We'll fix them with the sword. Kind of scary, huh? That was their version of a Christian nation. America was founded upon liberty. I didn't say a woman doesn't have the liberty to run that. I say biblically, if she is following what the Bible says, she would not want to run for president of the United States. She would not want to be in strong leadership positions. Why? Because it's opposite of the character and the nature that God has given her. That's why. It's not about, I didn't say they wouldn't even do a good job. Did I? I didn't say that. I said I disagree with it. Now, if you follow the normal, folks, you have to understand something. The devil has designed our nation and the devil is after our nation to ruin the design of the family, the structure of the family. He wants a lady to think that it's not good enough for you to stay home, raise your children, be a keeper at home, and take care of your husband, and to love your children. You are not a good enough woman. You are not good enough if you do that. Do you understand that's the design? That's what is being taught to us. That is what's been taught for a long time. I don't say there's not circumstances where a lady has to work outside the home. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that you are being told, though, that if you're a biblical mother, if you're a biblical wife, that that's not good enough. There's something demeaning about that. Folks, that's just not true. That's not true. Behind every godly husband, there has been a godly wife that has helped them. Behind every godly child, there has been a mother that has nurtured that and raised that in them. Why do you think our children are, and I'm not talking about mothers really this week, but why do you think our children in our country today are without so much natural affection? It's just weird. You see some just weird things. They don't have that natural love that they should have. Why? Because that love is nurtured and trained and showed to them. And when it's not showed to them, what happens to the children? They turn out differently. They don't understand how to love. Amen. So, understand that. And also, well, I'll get to this in a second. Let me read you some verses. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Well, there's an interesting thing there, isn't it? I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. He's explaining what the order. Remember, this is the order. Remember, these are the pastoral epistles. He is laying down, he's saying, you want a strong church, Timothy? Then you need a strong family, Timothy. You need a strong husband, Timothy. You need a strong wife, Timothy. They need to follow the order that God has laid down, Timothy. Understand that, Timothy. That's what I'm trying to teach you. You know, when churches get back to this traditional look, biblically traditional look, and understanding the order that God has laid down, there isn't that fight of butting of heads. You will find this, and again, this whole presentation, it's not that big of a deal. What I'm saying is that this, you will find the same arguments that a lady will use that she can be president are arguments that the feminist movement will make. I guarantee it. Look at their arguments. It will be the same as the feminist movement. We're equal. No, we're not, folks. We're not equal. I'm sorry, my wife and I, we're not equal when it comes to that. Joint heirs of eternal life, yes, but we're not equal. Why? Well, because I'm not a woman. I can't bear a child. We're just not equal. It don't work that way. Amen? It don't. It doesn't. And I can't be that mothering, nurturing that a woman can be, a lady can be, a mother can be. I wasn't made that way. Now, I love my family, I love my wife, I nurture her, I love my children, I hug them, I play with them. Yes, but I'm not mom.
Right.
And I'll never replace mom.
Right. Right.
I'll never, there's just nothing like a mother's love.
Right.
Nothing! Do you hear me? Right. Nothing like a mother's love. No father can replace a mother's love.
Right.
He cannot. There's nothing like it in this world. Out of this world there is, God shows that same love. Perfected, obviously, because He's perfect. Titus chapter 2 verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now, we'll get to this again, but that the word of God be not blasphemed. So what you're saying is if they're not discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, then the word of God is blasphemed? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. Now, moving ahead to Proverbs 31, I'll read these verses starting in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. Not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distant. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest from them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Does this sound like Solomon is demeaning a woman? Does it sound like Solomon is saying, lady, you're not that good? Does it sound like Solomon is saying that my wife doesn't mean anything to me? Does it sound like Solomon is saying that being a virtuous woman and a mother and a taker and a keeper at home, that she is no good or that she is second class or that she is not what God wants her to be or that it's not that important or it's not that big of a deal? It'd be better if you went out and made a bunch of money. Is that what Solomon is saying here? Is the wisest man inspired by God here of all the earth? Is he saying that a woman, well, you know what, if you keep your home, then you're not really that good of a woman. You know, you should aspire for greater things than that. Is that what he's saying here? No, not at all. See, here's what happened. There's two schools of thought. One, there's been some stupid fundamentalists that have made dumb statements that have demeaned their wives. And these are Bible believers, these are fundamental Baptists, and they have made stupid, degrading statements about their wives. So when they do that, then when you try to teach on biblical womanhood, nobody wants to listen because they think you're treating them like a dog. The second school of thought is the feminist movement that has crept in among our churches and has crept in and said, no, there's an equality there, and there's this, and then there's that, and there are no difference in the sexes. Oh, really? Simple biology lesson will take care of that. But there are no differences, huh? Really? So God's order of the family is just doesn't mean anything, right? Just doesn't mean anything, right? Well, when you kicked God out of the schools and you brought in evolution and you taught them the new religion of evolution, which is a religion, by the way. I have a real problem with creation not being taught in public schools because the religion of evolution is taught. Amen. If the religion of evolution is taught, then you ought to teach about the religion of Christ and the Creator. Why not? You're teaching your religion. Amen. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Okay, anyway, it takes faith to believe evolution. Whew, a lot of faith. A lot of faith to believe that your grandpa was a monkey. Amen? It takes a lot of faith to believe that you came from a pool of poop. I'm sorry, but it does take a lot of faith. I know that's blunt and that's really hard for some people to take, but it really does take a lot of faith to believe that you came from, you know, kind of like a pool of dung. Just really hard. That's a lot of faith. That's a big stretch at that pool. Something came out of there and just popped up on land and just started walking around. Grew some legs after a couple million years. And after 100 million years, it decided it would grow some arms out, swing through the trees, pop down, put some clothes on, and became a man. All from that little sludge pile. But hey, for me to believe that the God of all the heaven and the earth created, spoke this world into existence, now that's really hard to take. Oh, really? Well, I think it's harder to take what you're trying to sell me. Amen. Anyway, I know that was off subject, but it really made sense. The first thing we notice is that a biblical wife is virtuous. But understand this again. Understand this: the biblical teaching on the biblical wife, it's not a demeaning place. It's not a demeaning position. It is a very valuable position. It is a very needed position. Watch how valuable it is. All right, I hope you're listening, ladies. And I hope you can hear me in the nursery. I hope you're not talking about goofy things and you're listening, amen, in there. Because you really need to hear this in there. Amen? You really need to hear this. Everybody needs to hear that. I wish I could open it up for the whole town to hear it. Well, they'd probably lynch me. But anyway, the first thing we notice is the biblical wife is virtuous. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find one? That means that you and I, what Proverbs 31 teaches us about the biblical wife is this. This is the wife that everyone ought to be looking for when they look for a wife. And this is the lady that every woman ought to be. Strive to be. Do you understand that? So, if you have the right husband, he's going to be looking for a wife like this. All right? The right man is going to be. And the right lady is going to try to be this before she's married. Amen? So she can be that person. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Wow. Far above rubies. So what he's, doesn't sound like he's demeaning her, does it? Sounds like he says, if I could get a virtuous wife, if I have a virtuous wife, I do have one, he says, and her price is far above rubies. He says, there's no amount of money. You know what this is also saying? There's no amount of money that could send my wife to work just for extra things. I'm not saying you don't have to feed your family sometimes and two people have to work. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not condemning anyone. Please don't walk out of here and think that. What I am saying is that if you're saying that, well, I want to have all the toys, I didn't say substance like food, like you got to eat, so two people have to do what they have to do. I'm not talking about that. Amen? What I'm saying is that if you're telling me that you got to have all your toys, so you're going to send your wife to work so you can have her toys and let somebody else raise your children, that's wrong. I'm going to be real honest with you and say, I don't care who hears it and who gets mad at it, that's wrong. Get rid of the toys, you don't need them, and have a wife that is worth far above more than any rubies or any value that you can put on it to be home to take care of your family. You see, that's how valuable I believe my wife is. I have three children. I'm not sending my wife to work. And the reason I'm not doing that is because her value. She is worth so much more being able to fulfill her God-given role than for me to try to get some extra leisure. And I'm going to tell you something else too. I'm not doing it to pastor this church either. I'm not sending my wife to work. I want you to understand that. I have three lives that I'm responsible for, those children, to be raised with a godly mother.
Amen.
Not to have some kind of short circuit disconnect in them when they get older. Amen.
Right.
Again, I'm not condemning those that have to do that. What I'm saying is that if you don't have to, and if you search hard enough, you can figure out a way that you don't have to.
Right.
If you and I are willing to sacrifice. What we have to put it on is what price do we put on it? Amen? I'm feeling really bold right now. the Lord's just really speaking to my heart right now. Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. He trusts her. Virtuous. What does that mean? Being in conformity to the moral or divine law as a virtuous action, virtuous life. You know what the New Testament calls it? The counterverse for that, we read it in 1 Timothy, is that the New Testament calls it chaste, discreet, or chaste. Pure from all unlawful commerce of sexes, applied to persons before marriage, it signifies pure from all sexual commerce, undefiled, applied to married persons, true to the marriage bed. While they behold your chaste conversation. That is a morally pure conversation. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because a lady should be pure in speech as well as action. A wife's speech should never give an immoral implication at all when speaking to someone. Amen? He is saying that his wife is beloved here. She is very cautious on her conduct, how she acts around other men, so as not to give the wrong impression. Amen? She's very careful. The way she's dressed, the way she walks, the way she talks, not to give the impression that she may be having an immoral thought. Or her speech, or immoral actions. Her speech does not give the inclination that she is immoral. Amen? Talking about the biblical wife here. This translates into her clothing, her attire, like we talked about. It's never suggestive, never showing flesh. Amen? The heart of her husband does safely trust her. This is important also because remember this, ladies. She is a mother who will raise daughters, and moral purity and biblical holiness is of the highest importance. You are going to raise a daughter one day. And also, let me say this, and I hope, ladies, I hope you're hearing this in there, and online, I hope you hear this directly. You will learn from this series in the weeks to come the biblical role of a lady in the church. You will understand the importance of it. And right now, many of you, the only thing you see is, well, this says that I'm to be virtuous, I'm to be this way, I'm not to preach in church, I'm not to speak in church, I'm not to do this in church, I'm not to lead a man, that's all I hear. Yes, but I haven't even begun to tell you what your role is. You have a role that I cannot do as pastor, and no other man can do as a pastor, as a father, as anything else. You have a very important role. What is that? You will learn in the weeks to come the biblical role of a lady. Honestly, without going into great detail, you'll understand how great importance you are to the local church and to the pastor. Because God has a marvelous and a very weighty work for you in the house of God among the body. One that only you are called to perform. And that is to, and we'll expound on it one week, but that is the role of guiding, younger ladies. That the elder women teach the younger women to what? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be chaste, keepers at home. Lady, your job in the church, your God-given role is to teach and to train others also that come after you. I cannot teach a lady how to be a lady. Does that make sense to you? Amen. I can't teach a lady how to be a lady. I can't teach her how to be a godly lady. All I can do is preach the Bible, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, lay down doctrine, lay down order in the church. But lady, I need your help to be the example to teach those that come along after. Now, if you're trying to tell me that's not important enough for you, then something is wrong because I can't do it. And if I do my God-given role and you don't do your God-given role, our church is going to be in trouble. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. It is a valuable, it is precious, it is worth more than rubies, like Solomon said, it is worth more than rubies, it is of more value than that. It is very important. Why? Because, lady, you don't understand. We have generations that have passed that there has been no biblical teaching from the women to younger women. They've neglected them. They've went out and they've stood up in the feminist movement, and they've walked away from biblical ladyhood, and they've left a generation of women that don't submit to their husbands, that are not keepers at home, that don't take care of their children, that don't love their children, don't put that of high importance. I'm telling you that this pastor, and I will expound on it in weeks to come, we will talk about it, but I need your help more than you know. And you have a calling that God has for you, and what responsibility that weighs on your shoulders, what God expects from you, and He does expect something from you, and we will talk about it in the weeks to come. So there is a God-given calling and a role for a lady in the local church, and it is the elder women. Those are the elder in the faith, or elder in age, those that have been saved, to teach younger women. Amen. And I hope you understand the importance of that. How that ought to rot a responsibility on you. How you ought to be careful about what you do, your actions, how you speak to your husband, how you deal with things, how you handle men, how you talk, how you walk. Why? Because there's others coming behind you that are young, impressionable. Amen? Do you understand how it all fits together? How it's not just lady keep silence in the church. Lady, you keep silence and don't shut up and don't say nothing, seen not heard. That is not biblical. Amen. That is not biblical. I'm not saying that silence in the church service is not the same as silence in the building. Amen. Or silence among ladies. That's not what that is saying. It's saying there's a local assembly. They are not to be speaking out and because ladies have a tendency to blurt things out. I'm not accusing anybody here. I'm just saying they have a tendency to blurt things out. And Paul was saying this is interrupting the assembly. They are to be silent. They are not to speak because they draw attention to themselves right away. Do you understand that a lady does not, it's not hard for a lady to draw attention to herself? She just speaks and people look. Amen. Why? Well, because we're men. That's how we were made. If you've ever courted or dated, you realize that real quick. Amen? That she doesn't have to do a whole lot to get your attention. Amen? At least mine didn't have to. Amen? But listen, folks, we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. I just wanted to share that with you because I don't want you to leave here thinking, well, the pastor doesn't think that ladies do anything. They're just to sit there and not. No. See, too many people didn't hang on for what was coming. They just left and decided they wouldn't listen to the truth and hear it all the way out through. But you can't give the truth. I can't give it all to you in 1 week. I keep you long enough half the time. Amen. I try to be respectful enough of your time, but when God says to stop, I'm done. Amen. Amen. But purity is of the utmost importance here for a wife and a mother. Watch your speech and your actions that they are morally pure. A virtuous woman is a woman of spirit who has the command of her own spirit. She can control her own spirit. Knows how to manage other people's. Amen. You see that? She knows how to manage other people's spirits as well. She knows what not to say and what to say. Ladies, sometimes you know that there's buttons that you really shouldn't push with your husband. And you know it. Amen? they know it. And a virtuous woman, a spiritual woman, a one that has herself in control will understand not to push those buttons. And you know what I'm talking about too. And guys, you know when your buttons have been pushed and that case. And you also know, guys, that you know how to push a woman's buttons too to make her upset and get her a little angry and fiery. And sometimes you push those buttons and you want the eject button to get out of there. And sometimes you don't get out, but you can go through the fire. Amen. Get yourself in trouble. But a virtuous woman is a woman of resolution. One that is pious and industrious and a helpmeet for a man. Who, having espoused good principles, is firm and steady to them and will not be frightened with winds and clouds from any part of her duty. He trusts in her conduct that she will speak in all companies and act in all affairs with prudence and discretion so as not to occasion him either damage or reproach. Are you listening? He trusts in her fidelity to his interests and that she will never betray his counsels nor have any interests separate from that of his family. Wow. Now, those are quotes, by the way, from a preacher back in 1500. But God's truths are timeless, amen. It says, so he shall have no need of spoil. His heart does safely trust in her. He shall have no need of spoil. This means that the husband can trust his wife as he goes to work to provide, that he can provide for her, that she will not waste the family's money and squander it and be a big spender and rack up large bills and increase a bunch of debt. That she is very careful with what she does. She will do him good, not evil. Her motives are pure to be a helpmeet to her husband. And she is careful not to harm him intentionally or unintentionally. She walks circumspectly. Why? Because you are joint heirs in this life and you work together. When you bring shame to your husband, you bring shame to yourself. Amen. Vice versa for the husband, the same thing. He brings shame onto his wife when he acts like a moron out there. She shows her love to him, not by a foolish fondness, but by prudent endearments, accommodating herself to his temper, and not purposely crossing him, giving him good words and not bad ones, no, not when he is out of humor, studying to make him easy, to provide what is fit for him both in health and sickness, and attending him with diligence and tenderness when anything ails him, nor would she, no, not for the world, willfully do anything that might be a damage to his person, family, estate, or reputation. Amen. See, man, that seems like you actually believe that whole obedience thing. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. Amen. I know it's hard to take sometimes. It's hard to take when a husband is not being a husband. It's even harder to take then. When he's not being a good man, it's hard to submit to a tyrant. Amen. So that's why a lot of ladies don't. It says here that she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. This has few applications, actually. She takes special care to notice the needs of clothing and care for her husband and children. She is willing to make them clothes or fix them or purchase clothes for them and care for their needs. She understands what they need. She understands that, listen, a father doesn't always know what their children need when it comes to things like that, unless a mom says, hey, we need to do this or do that, or she's careful and pays careful attention to those things. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She knows how to shop and how to save the family money and is able to deal on groceries. She's somebody that would get coupons that would save, that would do right, that would make sure she was saving her husband and her family, both of them money and food, and be a thrifty shopper. She has an idea. She knows, she sees the needs, and she's able to go out and get those things that are necessary. Amen. But remember, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. The biblical wife is always planning ahead for the home, and for meals, and rises early than others, and to take care of others, to prepare meals for her husband and children, and any that are under her roof. She is keeping those things in mind, and understanding that as part of her duty of keeping the home, is to keeping the structure and the order of the home there. Then, She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She takes what she has to work with, in other words, and makes much out of it. Whether it's land, she uses it for a garden and plants a vineyard and grows food so to care for her family. All a part of that. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And she prepares herself and her family clothing and is not afraid to work to get her hands dirty in the care of her family. Amen. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She takes good care of herself, her hygiene, her clothing. She looks nice. She doesn't look like a train wreck in a muumuu when her husband comes home. Amen. Come on now. Haven't been sitting unshowered and in a pink muumuu all day. Amen. When you come home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon looking around, what's for dinner? Well, I don't know. You cook it. Amen. Come on now. You don't know what a big pink muumuu is? It's one of them big pink nightgowns that they're the most modest thing in the world. You could wear them to church on Sunday perfectly. All right, I'm moving on here. I'm done with the muumuu here. You know, she takes care of herself. Her hygiene is there. She takes care of herself. A lot of times, I think ladies have to be careful that they don't, and husbands too, by the way. I think husbands are just as guilty of this. That, especially when you're young, that you get married and you get happy, and I know I did. I got up to 300 pounds. I was so happy. I got real happy. Amen. I was happy. You ask my wife, honey, I was happy, wasn't I? I was just happy. Amen. I was real happy. Good and happy. 300 pounds happy. Amen. Big old man. But anyway, and you know what? She never complained about it or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that I was convicted over it. And I said, you know what? I'm a young man. There's no reason for this. And God smote my heart about it. And I think it's important for husbands and wives to take care of themselves. Amen. To be good to each other like that. Especially when you're young and you have all the life and energy and everything that you have. There's no excuse for that when you're, you know, young like that. But that's important to do. That's important. A lady, it's important for her to take care of herself. Amen. She's industrious. Amen. She's industrious at home to help her husband's finances by saving and selling produce, whatever the case may be, or saving money by planting a garden, or whatever the case may be, just those kind of frugal things. She's industrious. Listen, a Proverbs 31 wife is not, a woman is not a lady that just sits around like a wallflower and says, well, see not heard, lady, be quiet and just do this and do that. That's not what the Bible is saying. And that's not what Solomon is so pleased with here. That is not what, and many believe that Solomon's mother taught him this. Many believe that Solomon's mother taught him this. And I'm just saying that that's what Jews believe, that Solomon's mother actually taught him this. But she's a strong, listen, she is industrious at home. That's not lazy and sit around all day and do nothing and watch soap operas play crossword puzzles and not clean the house and come home to a dirty house and nothing done and everything else like that. That's not what God wants, amen. And understand that. Strength and honor are her clothing, the Bible says, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's a strong woman in her rightful place that clearly no man can have. Amen. She is strengthened and strong in her place. You know, lady, you can take comfort in the fact that this is the God-given place that He has given you, and you can be the best at it as you can be, and there's no shame in that, and that brings honor to God, that the Word of God be not blasphemed, the Bible says. Don't follow the world's pattern that thinks that you have to be famous, you have to be successfully rich, you have to have all these things in order to be the lady that God wants you. That's the complete opposite of what God wants. That's not the design that God has. That's the world's design. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Hey, Eve, you want to be a god, don't you? Well, she was fine just being the helpmeet to Adam, wasn't she? Wasn't everything bliss when she was the helpmeet to Adam? Wasn't everything fine? Yeah, it was called, she lived in a state of bliss. He didn't have to tend the garden. He just tended the garden, but he didn't have to do anything. He didn't water it. He didn't have to do those kind of things. He just picked the vegetables and the fruits and, amen, and she just, I don't know what she did all day. I don't have any idea what she did all day, but she did something all day. She had fun, whatever she did. But anyway, there wasn't that tent. Then all of a sudden, here comes the devil telling her, hey, hath God said? Are you sure, lady, you don't want to be a god? You sure you don't want to be equal with God? What happened? She left that role of biblical womanhood, took on a leadership position that you're still suffering for today. See how the order's been messed up? See how the divine order is always Satan's forte was always to mess up that divine order? You say, no, you're just old-fashioned. Yeah, it's called biblical-fashioned. Yeah, it's called biblical-fashioned. I'm sorry, I hate the feminist movement. It's done. Yeah, oh, by the way, the feminist movement has killed more babies than any other movement before. They've slaughtered babies. They've not cared about the equality of that child, have they, though, when they took them, when 4 million women a day stand in line and slaughter their babies. Throw them into the fire to Moloch. Sacrifice them to Mother Earth. How's that feminist movement worked out? Amen? Equality? I don't think so. I'll never be equal to a woman. Amen? I can hold my baby for a little while. Just a little while. Right now, you know, and try to entertain her. Well, you gotta entertain them. That's all you do is entertain them for a little while, and then they get sick of looking at you and they start screaming. And there's nothing else you can do at this age. Then I'm thinking, okay, I'll change your diaper. I do that. I do change diapers. And I change the diapers. And then, basically, she's going back to mom. Because there's really nothing that I can do for her. She doesn't want me. She wants her mother. Why is that? Well, because she knows where mom is. That's why. Amen? Now, I can never be a mother to that child. Why does that bother people when you say that? Why does that bother them and think that that's a demeaning position? I'm sorry, is a mother a demeaning position? How did Christ come? Through a woman. So why is it so demeaning to be a woman like Mary was? I don't think it is. More importantly, God doesn't think it is. And in his inspired word, we see what this lady has done. What this lady is. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You know what I get? Let me tell you this right now. I have seen the feminist movement, and I've seen those relationships and those marriages. And yes, I've seen those marriages where the woman run the man, and they crack out the whip at the man, and they run him. And by the way, it's pitiful to look at. It's just absolutely pitiful to watch. It's really, I'm sorry, you may not like what I'm saying, but you don't have to. It is not nice to watch. And shouting their husbands down, telling their husbands to shut up in public, talking like that. And I wouldn't tell my wife to shut up in public either. I don't think it's respectful either. Amen? That's not respectful. God, lady, I'm just kidding. But that's not respectful, amen? It's not. You just don't do that. You know? But what I'm saying is that goes on there, and those relationships usually end up horrible. They don't end up strong. And a lot of turmoil. I bet people say, well, your wife does this, 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 and this, and they've told me that, and said, well, you know, I do this and make money and this and I don't want to dress like that, do that, and be submissive and all this kind of stuff. Basically what they're insinuating. And those people, their lives are turmoil. They're never happy no matter how much money they make. It always leads to destruction. And when they leave that biblical model, then they look at my wife and think, my wife is so happy with the most simple things in life. I don't go home to a ferocious, fire-breathing dragon. I don't have that relationship. And neither do I go home to a whipped puppy. That thinks that unless you talk about my dog, Boomer. But, unless, just kidding, I don't beat him, PETA. But anyway, never mind, it's free speech. But, I don't go home, my wife is, oh no, I'm so oppressed. She doesn't live like that. Matter of fact, reasonably, she gets pretty much whatever she wants. Why? Because she tries to obey the Bible. So it's not as hard. And I try to obey the Bible. And then when I do something and say something that I shouldn't say, she doesn't really say anything to me about it. And that's when I walk back. She keeps that meek and quiet spirit, and that's when I walk back in my room, and God says to me, well, you better go back out there. I'll go back out there right now. No, you back out there, and you need to go apologize. Well, ask for forgiveness. I'll do it later, Lord. No, you're going to do it now. But you know, I start to feel guilty about that. Why? Was it because she was mean and she shouted me down? No, it's because she just kept the right spirit about it. And she knew that. She knew I was going to follow God and that I'd come to my senses on it and I'd feel bad. And I'd be convicted. And I'd have to go back and deal with it. Amen? A strong woman in her rightful place. Honor comes to her through her care of her husband and her home, though. That is a very honorable thing. You know, nothing is more impressive than when you see that, when you see a lady that has been saved and living for the Lord for a long time, and she has the home down where she just works it like clockwork. Amen? Now, when you have little ones, it doesn't always work like clockwork. Because you have little ones that jam the clock. You know, they stop the clock every 5 seconds. But after a while, when all that stuff works itself out, just the structure of the home is smooth. Why? That's what God wanted it to be. That's the way God wanted it to be. And that is a thing that a man cannot do. There's no such thing as Mr. Mom and Mrs. Dad. It doesn't work that way. Amen? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That means she chooses her words wisely. She doesn't get drawn into arguments with men or others. And kindness comes from her lips. She is soft-spoken. A lady should never get herself into a position, especially a wife, should never get herself into a position where she is arguing with another man to try to prove a point or to win an argument. It's not right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. Matter of fact, you're probably going to make your husband mad because somebody's mad because they're talking to his wife that way. When a lot of times if you didn't push it and you just say, well, I'll just talk to my husband about that, let him talk. Amen? Things are better settled like that than to get into that. Now, we don't have those confrontations around here. That's never really happened. But I'm just saying, it doesn't look right. By the way, it doesn't look right for a single lady to argue with a man either. I'm not saying don't defend yourself. I'm not saying just shut up and don't say nothing. What I'm saying is when something leads to an argument, drop it. It's not right. It doesn't look right. And by the way, if another man sees that and they may have an interest in you, they're not going to keep an interest in you. Because they're going to look at that and say, there ain't no way I'm getting into that. Amen. That's just the truth, folks. That's the nature. If you can argue with a meek and quiet spirit, and you can argue with the modesty, amen, shamefacedness, sobriety, then you can argue with those statements. But those are very easy to define with Webster's 1828 dictionary, and they're all right there. That doesn't mean that you should be instigated by a man either. That doesn't mean that. And guys, there's a lot of times when you should just, you know, be quiet. You don't need to instigate your wife and make her mad either. That's not biblical. That's not nurturing and having a loving spirit. And you don't have to win everything. She chooses her words wisely, though. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. It means that she is productive, amen, in her house. She's not just idle all the time, sitting around all the time. Her husband doesn't come home, you know, dirty house, dirty kids, no food on the table. And again, still in the pink moo moo. Her children arise up early and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Notice that. her husband. This does not sound like somebody that's in a demeaned position, does it? It does not sound like a position of no importance. It does not sound like a position that doesn't matter. No, it sounds like a very biblical position that is very important to the structure. If you think your child can be raised right without a godly mother, can't be. Can't be. No, won't be. We'll have a disconnect there. Amen? There'll be a disconnect there. Or a husband. That's why we need a help meeting, amen. And ladies, you'll attest to this. We need a lot of help. Amen? We definitely do. If we would realize that maybe and be humble about that and let them help us. Amen. That doesn't mean you're being led, that means you're being helped. Amen. Why? Why do her children rise up and call her blessed and her husband? Remember, she's a mom. She's training daughters and sons. Daughters what to be like and sons what type of lady to marry. A biblical lady will be consumed with guiding the home and training her daughters to be biblical wives. That is your position, lady, in the home as a mother. That's your position. To train your children, train your son how to love a woman in a godly way. Amen? And also train him what woman he should look for. So that puts a responsibility on you to be the lady, a biblical lady, doesn't it? Because I want my son to marry somebody that's going to follow the Bible. Amen? And then, I want my daughters to know how to be a God-fearing, chaste lady. And then, like I said, in weeks to come, we'll talk about the church, how the pastor can't teach them to be godly women. He can preach the Bible, but I can't teach a lady to be godly. I can't teach a younger lady to love her husband, to love her children, to be chaste, to keep her at home. I can preach the Bible, but it's the duty of the older women, those that are older in faith and older in age and have experience, to teach the other women. Amen. Do you think that's not important? Now, some pastors have not made it important, but it's very important. Let me go a step further in that time when that comes, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But when you grow in the faith, there are certain things that a pastor should not be counseling with a lady about. Amen? It should be other ladies talking to them and helping them. Listen, I can get bogged down with that stuff. Even in a small church, I can get bogged down with that. Sometimes ladies just need to talk to ladies. Amen? Just talk to another lady. Amen? There are some things I don't want to talk about. Amen? And there are some things that I don't need to talk about. And if it's, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, but if it's a boo-hoo crying thing, you need to take that to another lady and boo-hoo and cry to her on her shoulder. I'm not saying I won't help you if you're in trouble. I'll be there. You call me at 3:00 in the morning. I'll pick up the phone saying, hello, what's wrong? I'll be there. But if it's one of these boo-hoo crying emotional things, I'm not the guy for that. Amen? I'm not being unkind. Listen, my wife, I'm the guy for her to do that too. Amen? Does that make sense to you? She can cry on my shoulder anytime. I signed up for that. Amen? I answered a covenant, but I don't want to be having a bunch of ladies boo-hooing and crying to me. Amen? And I'm not being unkind. Don't take that in a wrong way, because it's not meant that way. What happens is those things can lead to bad things. You understand that? When you get too emotionally tied up with another person that's of the opposite sex, that can start trouble. That can lead to bad things. That can lead to confusion. Amen? So what do I say? I'm saying that for a reason, to protect me and to protect this church. Amen? And trust me, there's tons of ladies that'll talk to you here. I mean, if you're a lady. If you're a guy and you want to talk to me, if you want to cry, I'll let you cry, I guess. But I mean, listen, we've all cried together. Hey, listen, I don't think there's anybody that I've not wept with, probably, when I've talked to them. Amen? I have. The real men weep, amen? Jesus wept. The realest man I know. Amen? See, he's weeping now. Listen, right there. I'm almost done here. All of this is dealing with being a keeper at home, though. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Don't give any bullets to the devil to shoot at you and to shoot at God. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Discreet, chaste keepers at home. Minding their own family affairs. Not getting abroad and inspecting into and busying themselves up with other people's matters. There are some ladies and there are some churches that they just go around and have a gossip fest. They just go around and they talk about everybody. Amen. That's not what God wants. That's not what He wants at all. Taking care of the home and the children was of the utmost importance for the lady and still is today. The biblical woman is looked down upon if she does that. But hasn't every teaching of Christ been looked down upon? Isn't biblical manhood looked down upon today? Isn't it all antichrist out there? Should we suspect that the world would like a biblical lady? Why do we think that? I want to match with the feminist movement. What for? The feminist movement is antichrist. Why would you want to match with it? Amen? It's antichrist. Plain and simple. You check it out. The feminist movement and abortion. Check it out. Scripture also says for them to be sober, lady, to be serious about life. Time to put the wildness, the running around, the games away when a wife is married, called to a husband, and raise children and honor God. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies, worth more than any riches you could ever have? And lady, if you need a purpose tonight, there it is. Because the Bible says it's in the sight of God a great price. So who do you want to have the esteem of? The world or God? Remember, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Also remember that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the world ain't going to be there going, hey! They're going to be down there at their own judgment to come after that. The white throne judgment. Amen? Understand that. Biblical womanhood. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd just please bless us now. And Lord, this teaching, and Lord, it isn't always easy to bring straight biblical truth, but it's always right. And Lord, the application is very simple and plain. Lord, I thank you for the wife you've given me. And I thank you for the ladies of this church as well, Lord, that love the Lord, that are faithful, that love their husbands and their children, and they want to be godly women. They want to be biblical women. And Lord, thank you so much for them. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless us, help us understand your great truths, help us to apply them to our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.